Thank you, Dr. McCall. And I am happy to return to this chapel because some of the most inspirational hours that I had when I pastored here for 18 years were in this chapel. Perhaps nobody knows me here now except some of the faculty members, because you have a turnover of students. Every 3 years, you may have one or two left over. But I came back today because I've been away since 1964, and I thought perhaps you needed me to return. I want to share a secret with you. I was always disturbed in my ministry because of a memory of the late pastor who baptized me when I was 12 years old. I was converted under his ministry. He was the greatest preacher that I have ever heard, and that includes Dr. McCall. He didn't know a seminary from a cemetery. But he knew God. When I was about 8 years old, my mother said that I was about 8 years old, he came into the little country church on a farm where I was converted. It was a small frame church. It had but the one room where we worship. It didn't have an usher's room, or we didn't need a choir room because we didn't even have a choir. He stood on the outside until the deacons concluded the devotions. Then he would come in and take the pulpit. And I remember on that particular Sunday, he came from the outside straight to the pulpit, and his face was shining. It was as though an angel had walked into the sanctuary. And Sister Easter Robinson, a mother of the church, said, "Brothers and sisters, the pastor has been with the Lord." And he started singing, "Shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me." Now, you don't know anything about this because you came along at a time when there's very little spiritual fervor in the church. But he literally wrecked the house spiritually. He literally wrecked it by just standing there, reflecting the Shekinah. Well, I went back there to preach after I finished the seminary. And of course, I knew that those people out there in the country had never heard anything like I had to say that day. Well, now, I didn't wreck anything but myself. For the only thing that shined about me that day was my shoes. That sent me to my knees. And so, just about 2 years ago, I discovered the secret that made that old man shine. And if you listen, I think you will share it with me. You will find it in Exodus, the 34th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse through the 29th verse and the 33rd through the 35th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these things, for after the tenor of these words I have made covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. The skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. They couldn't stand it. He put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. That is the secret. We have so many aids today we never take time out with God. Not much. There are two methods of approach, perhaps, which we share with Moses and Aaron. And so I would like to talk about the secret of a radiant life. The secret of a radiant life. The first method is the instant approach. You know, we're used to instant coffee and instant tea. My wife came up the other day with instant potatoes. And I adopted that method for a long time. I have so many aids. Reverend Patsy Brown. My Lord, it didn't even have a decent name. I'm sure that he never heard of a commentary. I'm sure that he never had a concordance. He was a walking concordance. And he knew every verse in the Bible without looking it up. I have everything. I bought everything that I could lay my hands on. And I can get the sermon together just like Aaron got a God together overnight, instantly. And so far as I am concerned, These aids that I have depended on are no more than roll aids. I have all of the latest conclusions in theology, including the death of God theory. The only thing that I did not have was a radiant ministry and a radiant life. And you can't get that from seminaries and commentaries and theologies. You can't even get it from the Bible. Bring me your trinkets, bring me your golden trinkets, and let me mold you a god overnight, instantly. Bring me all of your aids and let me get you a sermon together overnight. And the only thing that will be shining when we get to our pulpits will be our shoes. Dr. McCall gave me the clue without knowing it before I came in here. He indicated that the only thing that would be shining in this auditorium today would be the signal light for us to get through. And then there is the long-term approach, the way of Moses. You can't get this overnight. You have to go to the mountain and stay 40 days and 40 nights. And maybe the Lord won't even come out until the 40th day. This is the secret. When I lived on a farm in Tennessee, the river would overflood certain areas and deposit rich soil over the lowlands. But the hilly lands were never blessed with that soil. The river would overflow and deposit this soil. And for years of accumulation, the lowlands had become rich. And the farmers who owned the lowlands never had to depend on artificial fertilizer. Well, our lives need to be exposed to the overflow of divine life and light. For a sermon is not something that you throw together. A sermon is not words. A sermon is the word. And you don't get it overnight. You don't get it by putting things together. It's an overflow of one's devotional life with Christ. And one has to stay with Christ for at least 40 days and 40 nights before his life can reflect the Shekinah. And then your sermon will be a byproduct of that life with Christ. Your sermon will be a result, a consequence of your life with Christ. There was more power in the shining presence of Reverend Patsy Brown that Sunday morning than could be reflected from all of our spoken sermons combined. I remember another day. It was at Sister Nancy Bailey's funeral. He came into that sad situation that day shining. And when he got through describing heaven, and when he got through describing God on his throne and the 24 elders bowing around the throne, when Omaine Brown got through, we left there feeling that it was a shame not to be dead. It was all because of man. Books all right, but give them their proper place. The Bible is all right, but give it its proper place. I know people who can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but you can know the whole Bible and never know the Christ of the Bible. You can pastor a church and die there and have a big funeral, and the church will never see Christ in you nor your ministry. A sermon is a byproduct, an aftermath of one's life with Christ. If you stay with him long enough, if you absorb his presence long enough, you will be able to preach him. And he will give you a radiant life that the world will notice.